Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I welcome you this morning to an exciting show. We're in a continuing conversation that has been going on for a while, and I invite you to sit back, relax, and get your favorite drink, as I say, and join in on the conversation. You know, anytime that you want to participate in the conversation, just simply click 1 on your handset, and I'll see it, and I'll get to you as soon as I possibly can, okay? But before we get started, we want to say, Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, this morning for mothers and daughters around the world. Father God, we ask you to touch and anoint the relationship between the mother and her daughter, our daughters, as it affects the entire family. Let it trickle down to be blessings to the father and the son, creating the idea family that you propose that we be. Father God, I ask for special blessings this morning, that we say what you would have us say in this conversation, and that it will be a blessing to mothers and daughters around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I just want to thank each of you for taking time out of your busy schedule, and for the new people that are coming on, I am Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host here on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to me via the handset of your phone, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com and listen via your computer. A lot of people are doing that. To listen to me on your phone set, you might want to call me at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078, and simply click 1 to join in on the conversation. Now, we have an stimulating topic this morning. It's a combination, and for some of the people that have not been with us from the beginning of the year or ever, our conversation is based around a round table. It's a round table conversation between mothers and daughters from around the world. We have the opportunity and the blessing to be able to speak to mothers and daughters around the world via the internet. And I think the most surprising piece of it, or should I say, I don't know what the word is that I want to say, but, you know, just the fact that you are speaking, you know, I can get up on Saturday morning and I could just start talking, and I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know how far my voice is going. It is exciting to me. But when I see the reports of the people that click in from all over the world via the internet, that's just, I mean, I'm just like, wow, blown away that someone is actually listening to me in certain parts of the world. What a wonderful thing, the internet. We can use it for good or we can use it for bad. I want to thank all the partners that are supporting the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. I just want you to know we appreciate it, can't do it without you. And all my partners include not monetary partners. I'm talking about the ones that are getting up and spending their time. Your time is so valuable. There is not a dollar amount that can be placed on that. So I want you to know I truly, truly appreciate it, and I consider you as being a partner to this Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. If you would like to speak to me, send me a message. I'll give you a couple things that you can do. One, you can call me at 786-462-6470. That's 786-462-6470. Leave me a message and I'll call you back. The other, you can send me an email if you would like at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's DRBESSIE, the number 1@gmail.com. And we have a couple websites. We have the Mother and Daughter Bonding website, which is www.mdbn.org. M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org. Or you can simply go to drbessie.com. I know I'm giving you a lot of things, but that's what we have, and we want you to go and visit the website. Send us a message. Tell us what you think. I know a lot of you out there that are listening, you're just sitting there and you're listening, and I appreciate that, and you have a lot to say. And everybody's not going to be bold and step out and want to speak on the radio because there's a fear there. So if you feel like you don't want to say it on the radio, you can simply send me a note at drbessie.com or my email, drbessie1@gmail.com. And I can respond to you that way. Send me your phone number if you want me to call you, and I'll do that too as well. I want to send a special thank you to the ambassadors. You know, they are behind the scene. They are the volunteer group of women that work very, very hard for the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network, and I appreciate them. If you would like to become a part of the ambassadors, please, by all means, send me a note, your name, address. We're looking for 200 Christian women to help head up and be on the board of the ambassadors for the events that are coming up this year and throughout the duration of this program. When I say program, I'm talking about a lifetime. Okay, we got some new people coming on. I'm Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I am your host today on Blog Talk Radio on the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. Our stimulating topic today is the effects of guilt in the mother and daughter relationship. I want you to hold on to that now. The effects of guilt in the mother and daughter relationship. I know a lot of people out there can relate to that, but I know a lot of people are in denial of that too. Like, I don't have any problems with me and my daughter. We are just fine. Well, that's good, but just keep listening. You know, there's no perfect mother and daughter relationship. We're all working on it. You know, I work every day. I call my daughter every day, and I nurture that relationship. You can't just assume that it's good. You can't assume that, you know, what you're getting is all there is to have. Because if you're getting it good now, you better believe it can get better, okay? And a lot of times your daughters will do just what they feel they need to do just to keep you off of their backs, but you're not really having a conversation, you're not really having a relationship. You're just existing. So get into the joy of the mother and daughter relationship, because as I tell most mothers, it's not about you and your daughter as much as it is about you and your grandchildren, because what you put in your daughter is going to be what your grandchildren are going to have the effects of. So if you want good for your grandchildren, give good to your daughter, and that'll spill through the son, which creates the father, which then trickles down to the grandchildren. So mothers, you have a great responsibility of monitoring that love and that nurturing relationship for the entire family. I want to thank all of the friends of the Mother and Daughter Bonding Faith Ministries for your consideration, your help, your support for the things that we do in the Mother and Daughter Bonding Faith Ministries. Along with that, I would also like to thank my co-hosts this morning. We have a couple people with us and a couple people that are not. Sandra D. Is one of our co-hosts, Cynthia Oliver, Janice Paldo. And we have a special guest this morning, Miss Serena Jones, who is an educator and the mother of three. And we'll hear a little bit from her this morning after we get going into the conversation. I will talk to her briefly, and then we'll get into our conversation. And then we'll open up the conversation to the audience. So just so that I can greet my guest. Good morning, Mrs. Jones. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. Fine, yourself?
I'm doing great, doing great. Thank you for being our guest this morning.
I feel very honored. Thank you for having me on, and to all of our listeners. We pray that whatever the Lord gives us will be a blessing to them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Tell us just a little bit about yourself, Mrs. Jones, just a little bit. I know you are a mother of three. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, actually, I was privileged to have a daughter. She is now 17, and I say privileged because I was told I couldn't have children. I had a disease called endometriosis, and yet I was a believer at that time and still am, thank God. And I just believe the Lord for my children, and he's blessed me with two beautiful daughters. My oldest is 17. My youngest is 10. She'll be 11, actually, on Valentine's Day. And my son, he is now 7.
All right. Very good. I tell you, I have one child. I'm always amazed at parents that have more than one child because I know the personality. Being a psychologist, you know, you know about the personalities and the different things you have to do. And I got my training, or getting my training, through my grandsons. I have two grandsons. And I'm telling you, it is something trying to always balance that love and making sure that, you know, nobody's feeling like they're not getting their equal share of you as the mother or the grandmother. Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah, no, not at all.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us, and I will get back to you. We'll get into our conversation, and then I'll get back to you for comments, okay? Hold on. Okay. Mrs. Jones, who is our special guest today. That's the good thing about it. If you want to be a special guest, of course, you can call me, and we'll put you on. We want you to be whatever you want to be. You know, we want to help you to be a part of this journey that God has placed us on. Now, for the past few weeks, or should I say from the beginning of the year, the Lord has placed heavily on my heart the words hidden secrets within the family. And I'm going back just to recap just a little bit so everybody can get the concept of where we are in this conversation, because you know how it is for the conversation. You walk in the middle, you don't know what people are talking about. So each week we have different individuals that are visiting the program and listening. I don't want them to feel like they are lost and not a part of the conversation. We started this conversation in January about hidden secrets in the family, and we talked about close to the number one secret. We talked about who's your father. You know, only mother knows who the father is, hopefully. And, you know, a lot of times people, that's the biggest hidden secret, you know, And it happened to me. So I know that and I understand that. So we were explaining and going through that, the effects of hidden secret from various perspectives. We talked about learning to forgive. And then we talked about the effects of pride. And then we talked about what mothers are not saying, which led us to fear and denial. So with all of those things being said, you know, everything is a part of that family of hidden secrets. Hidden secrets is very broad. You know, it affects so many aspects of your life. And you, as the person with the secret, feels that no one else knows. You know, and it's so amazing. The secret you think you're keeping, someone knows. Someone knows. Always. There is no secret, because you have to remember. I don't care how you feel. Well, nobody know my secret, Dr. Fletcher. I kept that to myself. But God knows, and God is someone, and he's the one that matters the most. So if God knows, you don't have a secret. It's not just your secret, okay? And last week we got into the world of denial, the denial in a mother and daughter relationship. And we talked about how fear and denial is so closely connected. Denial is rejection. It's to be turned down, to be refused, or someone disagree with you. It's the words, something simple as no. No can just crush your heart. You know, people can't handle no. But no is a complete sentence. There is nothing else to say. It's just no. Most people don't want to say no. So rather than say no, they will say everything else but what they really mean, and then they go into denial about the conversation that they're having within themselves because they were afraid to say no. But it's not the word no, it's how you say no. And when a child is very small, we talked about the fact that no can be very damaging because I've seen for myself a two-year-old, and everybody wants to say, oh, man, he's in those terrible twos. And then they start labeling their child, terrible twos. And the child is hearing you saying terrible twos. Okay, well, this is what I'm supposed to be. You are labeling that child as terrible. And then you add on top of that, no, stop it, don't do that. Hey, what did I say? Stop it. No, constantly. So you're programming your daughter at two to accept, no, I can't. You know, it's impossible. But there are so many ways to say no. Simply by just nurturing the child and simply making sure that you handle it in a way that they feel love, not rejection. And in most cases, we talked about how the mother should be able to look at the child's face and see the effects. And if you can see hurt on your child's face, you don't need to just walk away from that because you are now setting something in motion that is going to affect your relationship because the child has got a conversation going on in his head and the child is going to determine what that meant to them. Now, it may not be your interpretation of it and what you really meant about it, but it doesn't matter. It's the child's interpretation of those words and how it hurt their heart and their feelings, and they go away crying with their head down, and then you thinking, oh, they'll get over it. No, they won't. It's going to follow them to 17. It's going to follow them to 20s and 30s and 40s, and a lot of times in the 50s, you're still dealing with that hurt. And that's where the denial come in. And that's where it brings us to our conversation today, you know, the effects of guilt. You know, sometimes I, as a psychologist, I have mothers telling me, you know, I feel guilty to this day about what I said or what I done, and they won't release themselves. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the effects of guilt in a mother and daughter relationship. You've got to get rid of that because that guilt is going to eat you up. So let's bring, and that brings us to, you know, our newcomers, bring them up to date into the conversation, which started in January, you know, from the hidden secrets. I just want you to be a part. That's where we are now. We, you know, we've had several different parts of it. As I said earlier, we talked about forgiveness, the effects of pride, what you're not saying, mother, the fear, the denial, all of that. And that brings us to where we are today on the conversation. We're talking about guilt. And guilt is blame. There's someone being blamed for something. Guilt is shame. Someone is ashamed. You are ashamed of something that you've done. And because of you being ashamed, you feel guilty. You can't hold your head up. I see people smile, but the smile doesn't have the joy in it. You ever see someone just smiling, and they're looking at you smiling, and you can see in their eyes that they are heavily burdened. They're trying to hold their head up. They're trying to act as if, you know, everything's okay. But deep down inside, there's some guilt. There's some blame that they have not released. And then we're talking about guilt is self-abuse. You don't have to worry about somebody else abusing you. Guilt, hidden guilt, that hidden secret, that hidden conversation is self-abuse. It is a mental prison that you create for yourself through your intro conversation. Now, guilt will talk you out of your destiny. Guilt is very dangerous. Like the young folks say, you're on a guilt trip. I don't know how many of you are on a guilt trip. And many of you might say, you know, I'm not on a guilt trip, but you know you are. It's okay. We all go there. I've been on guilt trips. I don't get on them anymore because I know better. Once you know better, you do better. So we're going to talk about guilt today, and we're going to talk about the guilt trip, and we're going to talk about how to stop the train of guilt and get off at the next station. I want you to get off. And when we finish this today, you will have everything you need to get off. Let the train keep going. You're going to take another mode of transportation. And if you think that you're fooling someone, you're only fooling yourself. Because some of us was taught that whatever happens in this house stays in this house. Now, that set your mind as a child to start hiding things. And mothers, in most cases, we're teaching those same thoughts to our children, especially our daughters, because our daughters are going to raise another family. That daughter is going to carry that child for 9 months before the father even get a chance to even touch the mind of the child. Because, and I say that loosely, because you can speak to that child as that child lie in the mother's womb. But most people don't want to do that because they think that just sounds so far-fetched. You know, no, I'm going to wait till the baby come out because, you know, I don't want to do it. And they're missing a great opportunity because that baby can hear that father's voice and that baby can hear the mother's voice. And it creates that love before coming into the world. But that's a whole other show. But in the meantime, these things that we are taught, don't tell your father. You better not tell your father. Or don't tell your grandmother. Or, you know, don't let your sisters and brothers know. So that I did this for you. You take one child out and buy them something. Now, don't you tell the rest of them. So what you're doing? You're teaching the child how to lie. You're teaching the child how to hide things. And they're looking at you. That's my mother. If my mother says it's okay, then it's okay. And everything is judged according to that. Now they become 16 years old. And they start telling you lies and they start hiding things. And then now all of a sudden you want to beat them down. What do you mean lying to me? Well, you taught them how to lie. You taught them how to take things and put it to the side and make it a hidden secret. You taught them that. Now, you keep in mind the process. And if you're honest with yourself, you can go back and see some things you thought was cute wasn't cute. Like I tell people when they're 2 years old and you say, oh, isn't that the cutest thing? No, that's not cute because that's going to come back in 5 to 10 years. It's going to embarrass you, and it's not cute, and you won't understand what happened because you was in the midst of the process. Now, I remember a gentleman telling me, he said, you know, my mother used to get things and would buy things and would hide them in the car for my father, and they would, you know, go out shopping, and she would say, okay, she put things in the trunk of the car. Now, don't you tell your father I bought this. And he said, you know, that bothered him because he knew he was lying to his dad. Just simply by not saying anything, he felt guilty. Just walking around, not saying anything, knowing that his mother said, you better not tell your father. You know, that put guilt on him. And he says, as I grew up with my wife, you know, there were certain things I thought I wasn't supposed to tell her. So I hid stuff, and I mean stuff that really affected the whole family because he was taught by his mother how to hide, how to put things away, and you better not tell your father. So as a child, you walk around looking at your dad saying, wow, mama's got this stuff in the car, and I can't tell. Suppose the daddy finds out. He's going to ask me, did you know about it? What am I supposed to say? I can't go against my mother, so I'm going to have to lie. Guilt. So the child is walking around with a burden of guilt, and it becomes the mindset. There is a danger that is attached to guilt. So mothers, and especially you young mothers, I'm saying to you, think about it. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying. Think about the position you're putting your small children in. Because you're only training them to carry guilt. And I'm going to tell you what the danger is. Guilt destroys faith. Because if you're guilty, you surely can't be in faith. I'm going to say that again. Guilt destroys faith. And if you're guilty, you cannot be in faith. And faith is the only thing that moves God. I don't care what you do. If you're not in faith, you're not getting God's attention. So you see how much danger you're putting your children in, and it may take them 40 or 50 years to discover that they cannot get to God. Why? Because my mother told me not to tell my father that she bought something and put it in the trunk of a car. Seems like a simple thing, but it's a very dangerous thing. Guilt is the enemy to a Christian. See, guilt will turn a Christian into an unbeliever. You have so much guilt that the enemy will keep talking to you. Oh, you can't be a Christian. God is never going to forgive you. Look at the things you've done. I mean, just who do you think you are? You're no good. You've done so many bad things. See, and then you just get burned down. Guilt. Guilt. And as you're in guilt, you're in fear, and you're outside of faith, you're outside of God. God can't put his hand on you because God only moves. He says, I only move through faith. So if you're not in faith, how can he help you? Guilt binds the mind. It binds the mind. Sometimes you can't think. Guilt just gets on you so heavily, you can't think. That's how people commit suicide. It's just like, it's just no way. I can't get out of this because guilt is weighing you down. And the enemy wants you to be so crushed by guilt that you take your mind off the words of God, off the promises. Guilt will create a doubt in God's faithfulness. You won't believe God. You won't believe those words because you're so busy feeling guilty. You're so busy blaming yourself. I said all of that to say, mothers, if you are hiding something within, it will affect your relationship with your daughter. It will affect your relationship with your entire family. As a counselor, I know women that have gotten married, and they come into the marriage with guilt. And they know they didn't tell their husband. They just decided, well, I'll just go to my grave with this. Nobody will ever, ever know. But you're in a relationship with someone else. But yet every time that guilt comes up into your heart, into your mind, your behavior change. And your husband is wondering, what in the world is going on? One minute she can be nice to me, and the next minute she's mean as a rattlesnake. What in the world? What did I do? I didn't do anything. Our past start presenting itself in our present, because that guilt, we have not gotten rid of it, and it's there. Now, I want you to think for one moment now that I'm stainless and I'm guilt free and I'm all this. I am working on it like everybody else. This is the lesson, and for your newcomers, I tell you, as I am trained, and as God is teaching me, I get to share my lessons with you. So when I get up on Saturday morning, you know, this is a lesson for me. I am the student. So don't think for one moment I'm preaching to you. I'm just sharing my training. Because as I grow as a Christian, I have to also remember how to get rid of guilt. We have guilt that jumps on us each and every day. Guilt and sin, they're twins. And if we don't get rid of it, it just builds up like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, you don't even know what it is. You don't know where it came from. So that's why I'm here to tell you today, mothers, it is a very simple solution to getting rid of guilt. If you're a Christian, you simply repent of your sin and believe that what God said is true. Once you repent, It is as if you never sinned, like the sin has never taken place. Now, you got to believe that. Because if you don't believe that, you're going to stay in that guilty hotel with the doors locked, leading you down a deep hole of darkness, because you will never see that you were in the light all the time if you simply look around. It's like my girlfriend. She wrote a book, Light in the Basement. She's no longer with us, but that book, Light in the Basement, came from one thing. Her father was very abusive, and her father used to lock them up in the basement. They were in New York, and, you know, those they were in like a four-story brownstone. But, you know, you're talking about a basement, that's five stories. You're down at the bottom. And he would put them in there, close the door. And they were so afraid, didn't know what to do. She said, we would sit there on the steps and just shake as children and cry and couldn't figure out why he would do that. And it was just scary. And they're looking under the door, you know, with the little light under the door just to see the feet, his feet going back and forth. But they knew not to open that door. Because of what? Fear. And she said, I never knew. We never thought about just simply clicking on the light switch. Never. So Light in the Basement came from that. She wrote a 9-book series from that. Simply, the light switch was right there. But fear had gripped them so bad that none of the children could think, 4 or 5 children in there, none of them could think, turn on the light. We could simply flip the switch. So that's the same thing I'm saying to you, mothers. You can flip the switch. Turn on the light. By simply repenting and believing that once you repent, it's like it never happened. It's as simple as that, moving the switch up. Now, that's the good news. That's the good news. Now, some of you might be saying, you know, I'm a Christian, or I don't know if I'm a Christian. Well, it's still very simple. If you're a Christian, good. Repent, believe, flip the switch, and keep it moving. Don't worry about it. He said you're forgiven. He says you're cleansed. He says it's gone as if it never happened. Believe that. That's the Creator. He created you. And if he tell you that's what it is, then that's what it is. Why are you going to doubt it? You don't know. Do what you're told to do. But if you say, I don't know if I'm a Christian, I think I am. Well, let's just make sure that you are. The simple thing, again, is you need to have a conversation with the Creator, the person that created you, God. And you simply tell God you in your conversation, and I'll give you just some words, and, of course, you can go look it up, because I want you to go to the Bible and look it up for yourself so you can read it. You simply have a conversation with God and say, God, I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior, and I invite him to come and live in my heart, and I will serve him for the rest of my life. Now, that is not a rocket scientist. And once you've done that, you simply become a Christian, a child of God, from that perspective. Then simply repent from your sin and ask the Father of God to forgive you for all of your sin in Jesus' name. There again. Now you're back to the beginning. You can start all over again. If you make a mistake, simply repeat the process. You don't have to beat yourself up. If you believe the process, simply repeat the process, because we're going to make mistakes. Now, that's why we have Jesus. So, mothers, this is how you take the guilt out of your mother and daughter relationship. Simply repeat the process. Every time you feel that you've done something that is not loving, not forgiving, in any way in that relationship, simply repeat the process. Thank you for listening. I'm going to open up the lines, and we're going to talk to Mrs. Jones. All right, Mrs. Jones, that's our commentary for this morning, guilt. And what is your take on that?
Dr. Fletcher, that was really powerful. You know, I believe it's in 2 Timothy 1:7. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And, you know, I grew up in a single parent home. My mother had three boys and one girl. My, you know, I never knew my father, and that was definitely one of, you know, old school tactics that, you know, you instill that fear early on, and the child will do. And yet, growing up, there were several things that fear gripped me in. You know, it just overflowed. And so as I began to grow as a Christian, I realized that's not the way that God teaches his children. You know, God is love. And so as a parent, you know, partnering and teaming up with my husband, we've learned that, you know, as you walk in love and you use love, you use the word to teach your children, that you don't have to make them afraid. You give them wisdom and knowledge through the word, and, you know, God empowering you and giving you concepts and ideas to give them revelation of understanding. You know, don't do this because the consequence is this, you know, that, you know, you'll live under curse and this will happen. And just thinking about that, just the other day with my son, you know, I did something. He wanted, it was my time, and he acted out. And he was like, I always try to read to my children, you know, a little Bible scripture or something before they go to sleep and have conversation, you know, my daughter where she is and my son where he is. And he got upset because I chose my daughter first when I didn't respond. And then I went in the room and I said, son, mommy, because you acted out, I'm not going to read to you tonight. And I realized the next morning after praying and thinking about it, I was wrong, you know, because he wanted to hear the words, you know, that practicing of getting that Bible scripture. And I used the wrong tool. And so I apologize, and I think as mothers, we have to always be willing to recognize when we're wrong, to go back and apologize, because, you know, they need to know we're human too. They need to know it's okay when you make a mistake, not to feel bad about it, to just repent, as you said, to the person if you can. That's even more effective. And then get back in line and continue on, you know, move forward, pray and move forward. And even with my daughter, you know, this is another way that we can instill guilt. She has a project going on, and every day I'm on her. You know, as good mothers, we want to make sure our kids do their work, and, you know, they get good grades and all of that. And I didn't realize, but I recognized in her behavior, she wasn't responding to my constant reminder. So took off, we went to the store, and while we were riding, I said, what is the problem? You know, I'm doing this, and she opened up, and I thank God for that. She says, you know, you make me feel guilty. Every time you bring it up, I'm trying to get it done, but I feel guilty. And so I said, you know, first of all, I explained to her as a good parent, you know, knowing, and as an educator, I know how important it is not to procrastinate. So I want you to understand my purpose. This is part of my job, my training, because she's about to go to sixth grade middle school. And I explained to her, and I listened, I said, okay, we're going to sit together, because I don't want that condemnation over you. We're going to sit together, and we're going to figure out another strategy so that you feel empowered to do well, do what you're supposed to do, and be successful. And so I really think it's very important, Dr. Fletcher, as you said, that we renew our minds, because Hebrews 11:6 says it, without faith we can't even please God, and it is a blockage. He can't speak to us. You know, we're telling him what he already knows. He wants to tell us what he knows about the situation, about our children, about our relationships, so that we can be a blessing, so that we can build one another up, so that we can live delivered and free as his son Jesus died for us to be.
Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. I tell you, you touched on a little bit of everything. And I like the fact that you went back to your son and apologized, because, yeah, you know, you corrected the wrong. Yeah. And then you need to, you know, maybe check back with him and say, how do you feel now about it? Just to make sure that, you know, you clean it up as much as you possibly can, and then do something to replace that, something positive that's just for him. See, yeah, in order to get rid of a negative, we got to replace it with a positive. So right, if you go back and said, you know what, I want to do this just for you, so mm-hmm, it's gonna override that negative. You don't want to leave just a hint of negative negativity there. You want to, you know, replace that. And I'm proud of you, because a lot of times parents feel that they don't need to apologize to their children, and that's where they go wrong. You know, you need to let them know. We are humans. Yeah. There is no book written. We all are trial and error.
That is true.
And the thing of it is, I think I'm a little bit older than you. It never stops. You know what I mean? Yeah. We are constantly in mothering. I tell people, you know, it never stops. And then you get into a deeper mode of mothering when you get your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say they don't understand the grandparent. The grandparent just seem like they go crazy over those grandchildren. it's a different level. Of course, you know, you feel like, wow, I've learned from my children. I can help my grandchildren with my mistakes with my children. Everybody, as Bill Cosby say, you know, when your grandparents, you're trying to do good by your grandchildren for the mistakes you made with your children, trying to get into heaven, you know, trying to make up, replace a negative with a positive, you know.
Yeah.
But and then that your daughter, with her, I think that was a good move, because, and I'm proud of her, because she said that. You made me feel guilty.
Right.
A lot of kids won't say that. They'll just keep it within, because they're scared they'll get a spanking or get punished. It seems as if you have the relationship with her that she knows that she can say that and be in a safe place with you. And that's what we want mothers to hear this morning. Always make your children feel that they are safe and they can come to you at any time and say what they feel, and they're not going to be beaten down or punished because they're trying to communicate with you. And it'll be hard for you to give her those same pressures, because now the word guilt is going to be on you. You're going to be like, wow, I don't want to make her feel guilty. And what a powerful word for a young lady. I feel guilty.
Yeah.
That shows she's very mature. Thank God. Well, she's got good parents, you know, and thank God I let the radio audience know. I know her parents, and both of you ministers, and doing God's work and been doing it for years and years and years. And I tell them, I said, we can't minister to other people and leave our children out there. We have got to, you know, clean up, start with our home. When something go wrong in my home, I go camp with them. And they can do one or two things. They can straighten up, or they can have me there. Now, which one? Which one do you want? So I think they said, well, we better tighten up, because she's not leaving. So I go live with them. That'll fix them. All right. Thank you, Ms. Jones. And hold on, and I'll get back to you for final comments, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's see who we have here. We have 954. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
Fine. Okay, we have our co-host here, Cynthia. I have to remember these numbers. I'm sorry. How you doing this morning, Cynthia?
I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I'm awesome. Just to, I'm blessed to be part of such an awesome thing, the round table, and hearing things from a mother and daughter perspective. And it is so very cool to be part of this. And what I wanted to comment on is 3 points, actually, I wrote down here. Not only do we carry our own guilt, we tend to carry the guilt of others. And as a result, you stated, and correct me if I'm wrong, that guilt and sins are twins. I would like to take that even further and say guilt and shame are twins. One of the things that, you know, that I work with substance abuse moms, and one of the things that you stated it best, one of the things that I'm always reiterating to them is that their issue is not substance abuse, but that of self-abuse, and it's only the symptom of something deeper, such as fear and guilt and shame. And as a result of guilt, we tend to keep the guilt going. And oftentimes it's not even our guilt that we're wearing and the shame that we're wearing, but somebody else's. And unfortunately, it affects our present because we have never dealt with those issues of the past. And so, and until we, like you said, switch the light on, we continue to walk in this and have this heaviness on us and the shame on us. And until we realize that, you know what, I don't have to wear this. I can really let myself off the hook, because first things first, it's not even my own guilt. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just wanted to share this morning, because you made so many awesome points, but that's what I cued in on. And thank our special guest for being on. It was just such a pleasure to hear her share her side of the story. And I was just blessed by being here and being able to be part of the conversation. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, the points that you're making, I guess we could say they're, what do they call them, triplets?
Yes,
shame,
ma'am. I love it.
Guilt, shame, and sin, huh?
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. That was it. One thing we know, they're buddies. They work together.
Yeah.
They work together. And you made an interesting point there when you were saying that it's somebody else's guilt. See, that's the piece that a lot of people don't get. Thank you for bringing that to the conversation. That's
You're welcome.
The piece they don't get. They don't get the fact that it's not their guilt. Because as a child, you're reared with the guilt. It becomes a part of your being. And
yeah.
And sometimes, you know, until you really get into God and get into some study and dealing with yourself, you don't separate yourself from the guilt. You don't see, a lot of people, and this is something, and I'm glad this is good. What we can say this morning is that a lesson, if you really want to know where the guilt comes from, sit down and write out what is guilt to you. What are you carrying? And I'm talking to the audience here. What are you carrying within yourself that is keeping you heavily burdened? What is it that you think is your hidden secret? Write those things down. Now, this is just between you and your God. Write it down. Look at it. Be honest. Take it out. Put it on paper. Then look at it and say, where did this come from? Was I taught this as a child? See, and then you can identify if that's your guilt, or is it guilt from your parents or guilt from your sisters and brothers. See, and then once you identify the guilt, then you can release it, because, you know, it wasn't something that I create. We got enough stuff that we create on our own. And as you start from a child, the earliest amount of memory that you can, and writing down the guilt that you can remember and bringing it on up to where you are today, you're going to realize the initial guilt helped create the behavior which created your present guilt. Does that make sense to you, Cynthia?
Yes, yes, without a doubt. I'm real big on journaling, because self-discovery is something that takes us to a point where we can address the issues of the past to see if it's our own stuff or it came from somebody else's stuff. So that's
mm-hmm.
an excellent, excellent suggestion, Dr. Fletcher, and I just really hope our audience take you up on that.
Yeah, well, I'd like to have some feedback. If somebody's doing it out there, if you're doing it, you know, send me an email at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's drbessie1@gmail. You know, just to see what the effects are. And in fact, I'm going to do it myself. You know, and maybe when God releases from this part of the conversation, we can get into some of that. Or we can, you know, somewhere along the line, taper that into a show. I only work according to what the Holy Spirit tells me on Saturday morning. But if the Holy Spirit say we can have that part of the show, we will, because I can see it is a self-cleansing. And sometimes things we have to do just for ourselves. And when you do that and you get the discovery, don't leave it around. Just simply burn it and let it go. But keep in mind that the light is right there. The light switch is there. It's in your possession. You can change today. And my motto is, your words create your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into reality. And if you don't like where you are, you simply change what you say. That is your light switch.
Amen.
That switch that will change, will turn the light on. That is it. So to my listening audience, simply, and I'm going to say this before I leave, so you can write it down and you can get it. That is the switch. that is the switch, will change your life. It will change your life, your destiny. It will put you on track where God wants you to go and the purpose of being here. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate it. Do you have any other comments before we go?
No, that's it. You couldn't have ended it any better. What an awesome segment. Thank you so much, Dr. Fletcher, and thank you so much, Ms. Jones.
And thank you for being our co-host.
You're so welcome.
Okay, hold on. Good morning. We have our co-host here, Sandra D. How are you doing, Sandra?
Oh, good morning. Just fine.
Great, great. I know you've heard the conversation, and what is your take on it?
Actually, it's I'm just going to be brief here, and it kind of took me back a little bit because when I started thinking about the mother-daughter relationship and the guilt, there was something that I became aware of. My mother, at a young age, passed away from a lot of guilt things that were going on in her life that I didn't know and wasn't aware of until later on discovered. She, one day on a Friday afternoon, claimed of a major headache, and it turned out that she had an aneurysm burst inside her head. And the next thing I know, you know, she's gone on a Sunday. You know, she wasn't aware that we were there in the process of her at the hospital and whatnot, her kids. So I just learned a lot of things that she was withholding that she didn't express to anyone. And it's so funny because as I turned her age, when she passed her age, you know, I'm thinking, hey, am I going to go too, you know? So one thing I do try to be aware of is not to hold a lot of things within and not to have stress in my life and to tell people what's on my mind. And I know she did a lot of that. So it was a scary thing to turn her age when she passed. And, you know, being that I'm older than my mother, it was just scary. So I try not to hold things inside like she did. So I'm sure she felt guilty not expressing those things to me, I say, because I was the oldest daughter and you know, being able to talk to her on different levels. And that kind of bothered me, actually, for a long time, you know, all the things that she was dealing with, you know. So, but, yeah, she I'm sure she had quite a bit of guilt inside of her of the things that she was dealing with.
And it's amazing that, again, that you're talking about the guilt and to the level of aneurysm. People don't realize that you when you process from within, it stays within. It just runs up and down your body. That conversation that you're having is just going in your head, and you get so many conversations going until the stress from it builds up a stroke. People don't realize that. It's that conversation that you have in your head. And you get your conversation, you go to your friend, you ask your friend for their opinion, you get their conversation, and people are telling you what to do. You got all of these conversations, and if you don't put those things and channel them in the right place, it builds up heart attack, high blood pressure, aneurysm. It's all because of stress. And you go to the doctor says, well, you're having stress, and this is where this is coming from. And people don't really listen to what they're hearing in most cases, because where does the stress come from? The stress comes from your intra-conversation. The stress comes from the words that create your thoughts, that create the vision, that creates your reality. So your words are going to show you something in your mind's eye, and then all of a sudden you get this vision. Oh, my God, what if they find out? Oh, Lord, what's going to happen? And then you got this conversation. Say, well, you might as well just kill yourself. You might as well just go ahead and jump off of a bridge if I was you, because, you're going to be shamed. That's the conversation. That's Satan. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make sure he takes you out of faith. He wants to take you into unbelief. That drives people insane. the intro conversation. I've been doing the intro conversation for 30-some years, and I keep telling people that is the key. If you cannot manage that intro conversation, there's nothing else that you're going to manage, because what you say is what you get. Those are God's words. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think that you're going to die, if you think that you don't have any money, or you think that you got cancer, well, you know, God is always right. That's exactly what you're going to have. Because you cannot, he said, my word will not go void. So whatever he says, that's what's going to happen. So you can sit around and think poor. You can sit around and think that you don't have an opportunity. You can sit around and think because a pain ran in your body that, oh, now I got this. No, you just had a pain. Keep it moving. God says what? Whatever you say, there's life and death in the power of your tongue. So you speak the right words. It will generate the right thoughts. Then you will have the right vision. And he said, a person without vision will perish. You've got to have a vision. How do you get to it? It first begins with the word. That's the way God did it, and that's the way you do it. You, whatever he does, you do it. Whatever he says, you say it, and miracles will follow. So I just, when you said that, Sandra, what came up in my mind, I could see that picture of those words, and then I could see your mother running around with these conversations in her head, shame, blame, you know, guilt, not knowing how the people were treating her. You know, sometimes we have family members that are not very nice, and she probably had nobody to talk to. And so people, when they don't have anybody to talk to, they keep it to themselves. And it's so damaging, you know.
Right.
That's why it is good. I mean, you don't have to go pay $150 and say, well, I don't have money to go to a psychologist. No, you don't. But you can always call me. I'm not going to charge you. You got it, you got it. You don't, you don't. You know what I mean? That's what I tell people. Yeah, I'm here. I work for God. And if God sent you to me, then there's the word. I'm going to talk to you. So find you someone. Find you someone that knows the word of God. Don't just find anybody. Find someone that knows what God says. And first and foremost, get a Bible. Read what God says. And just trust him. He said, trust no man. Trust God. And let it out. Have that conversation with God and release it. So, you know, I am proud of you because you took what happened to your mother and turn it around to good, and you pass that on to your son. Let him know that, and he will pass that on to your grandchildren. And we all have to have a learning curve. And I learned and changed some things that my mother did. I changed them. I don't eat pork. I don't eat beef. I don't eat the things that I know that brought on high blood pressure in my family. They all died out very young. So what am I supposed to do? Keep going down that same road? And I saw these are the things that destroy them. If you know something, that means you have the light. You cannot get down that road. So with that being said, thank you, Sandra, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Well, I would like to close with this comment. We have a new venture coming on called Ask Dr. Bessie, a new television show, and it is featured around this one thought. Your words create your thoughts. Your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into reality. If you don't like where you are, simply change what you say. Turn the light on. I'll give you more details next week about Ask Dr. Bessie, and you'll know exactly where to find us. Have a blessed week. God bless you. Use your words to drive your destiny. Have a good week. Bye-bye.